Wow.
Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Hard to believe it's pitch black outside. Looks like we got some snow flurries falling over here. Yes, that dreaded S word has come into full effect. On today's show, we got a jam-packed show for you here today. We've got Hatcha Girls Swim Coach Melissa Neiman on. She's going to preview the state meet coming up this Friday, which is going to take place at Waukesha South High School. Paige DeKeep will be competing in the state meet for two events this weekend. We're also going to play you some Hatcha football highlights from this past fall as we go ahead and transition our way into the winter season. Plus, I'll break down how the Badger basketball team can win the Big Ten this year, and I'll be making my NFL Week 10 predictions. All that coming up today, but first, I got the chance to sit down with Hunter Bumgarte from 97.3 The Game to talk about the shocking news surrounding Craig Counsell going to the Chicago Cubs. So let's waste no time and get right into it.
Here it comes, and that one's deep. Right center, Christian Yelich has tied it up.
All right, we're going to go ahead and kick off the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ with the biggest news that I think has rocked pretty much the whole city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin. Craig Counsell bolting from the Brewers to go to the Cubs to manage the team. Currently on the line with me is, as always, Hunter Bumgarte from 97.3 The Game. Hunter, once again, thank you for joining me. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Alex. This is not something that I necessarily thought we'd be talking about in this manner. And obviously, we will get to what I'm talking about in a moment. But yeah, I'm happy to be back and always love being on in Tomahawk.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and get right into it here. Obviously, if you missed the news, if you've been living under a rock the last couple of days, Craig Counsell has bolted the Milwaukee Brewers to become the manager of the Chicago Cubs with a five-year, $40 million deal. That'll make him the highest-paid manager in all of baseball. Hunter, I'll start off with, what is your reaction to this?
It's shock, and I think a lot of people are in that boat as well, where it's just shock. And it came the hour on Monday between about 11:30 and 12:30 was one of the wildest hours that I've had in this career. I've been doing this, you know, whatever it happens to be, 7 years, obviously a couple of those there in Tomahawk. The half things happen in sports. Like the Damian Lillard trade to the Bucks was pretty shocking.
Yeah.
That was, you know, a month and a half ago. That was pretty shocking. That was one of the more shocking moves that a Wisconsin team has made. But when Rodgers was traded, that wasn't shocking. We knew that was coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a matter of a formality. That was kind of a slow moving thing. Brett Favre playing for the Vikings, that was obviously weird to see, but he had already went to the Jets and played somewhere else. So with that, this is the most shocking news that I think I've ever seen in Wisconsin sports that I've been alive for, and that had nothing to do with a game, right? Maybe a shocking result in a game or, you know,
right,
the NFC Championship team in 2014 or what have you. But this off the field was the most shocking news. And to go from, it started with the Mets hiring a manager, right? We got news mid-morning on Monday that basically the announcement was going to be made about Craig Counsell coming up early this afternoon, right, on Monday. And so I was like, okay, you know, all right, well, we're finally getting to a finalized point here.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's announced the Mets hire their manager. So then I'm like, all right, he's going to come back after all this. He met with different teams. He's going to come back, right? Because I always thought it was Mets or Brewers. But then John Heyman of the New York Post puts out that it's not just the Mets and Brewers. It could be there could be other finalists for Craig Counsell. I'm like, all right. But I just didn't think too much of it. But then Ken Rosenthal, The Athletic, reports that he's going to manage next season, but it's not going to be the Brewers and it's not going to be the Mets. It's going to be a team with an existing manager. And that sat out, I looked last night, about 15 minutes between when that was reported and when it was reported that he was going to the Cubs. And in that 15 minutes, we're all talking as a staff, okay, where do we think he's going to go? I think New York was, the Yankees was probably the top choice just because, okay, if he's not going to go to the Mets, what's a bigger name? What's a, you know, what's the biggest place you can manage?
Right.
And the Yankees were kind of what we were coming up with. One guy said Detroit. I was like, that doesn't make sense. So we just kind of went through a bunch of teams. And then one of our guys, Bill Schmidt, who you've had on the show, goes, what if it's the Cubs? And we all kind of laughed and, you know, that'd be funny. And then we were standing there, and I looked down and I refreshed Twitter, and it said, you know, Ken Rosenthal's tweet, the Cubs are hiring counsel. And I said it out loud, and it was just shock. And then anger. I mean, people are mad here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, they are.
There's no doubt about it. I fielded a ton of mad callers in the last 2 days, and they feel betrayed. I know Mark Atanasio, the owner of the Brewers, spoke on, what was it, Monday? And he said he personally didn't feel betrayed, but I know a lot of fans feel differently.
So right now, as we look at this, and again, I think that everyone is still reeling from this. I remember when Cleveland, because the Guardians were in play as well, not necessarily thinking that Council was going to go to Cleveland, but the fact that they interviewed with him led me to believe, you know, there's exploring the other options. When Cleveland hired Stephen Vogt, I thought it was going to be the Brewers and the Mets. And of course, with me being on the midday show, I didn't check Twitter all that often. And all of a sudden, I see that the Mets hired the Yankees bench coach, who I believe was Mendoza. And I think that the most shocking part about all of this was the fact, it's not the fact that he left, because honestly, you're managing a team for a number of years. You got the most out of it as you could, in my honest opinion. You're the winningest manager in franchise history. You are probably the best manager in franchise history. You could put Harvey Kuhn in there as well. But it's to go to a division rival. I think that's what set everybody ablaze.
Oh, 100%. And it wasn't just a division rival. If he goes to the Pirates or if he goes to the Reds, it's not even the same. But he went to the Cubs, basically your most hated rival. You could argue that the Cardinals are up there too. But
right.
Talk about the rivalry, the hour and a half difference between Milwaukee and Chicago, and the way the Cubs fans come up to American Family Field, and honestly, the way Brewers fans travel too down to Wrigley. This is probably the biggest rivalry that the Brewers have.
Yeah,
and for the most shocking and why fans are so upset is because Craig Counsell, the guy who grew up in Milwaukee, the guy who's been around Brewers baseball since he was a toddler, and got to play for his hometown team, the Brewers, and then got to manage, and the success that he had, and the NLCS run in 2018, and making the playoffs 5 of 6 seasons, and being able to bring a consistent winner to Milwaukee, and the way he brought kind of a new look at how to manage, right, with these bullpen games, and just different ways he was able to use his players to put them in the best possible spot to win. And there's no doubt that the Brewers, you know, achieved more because of Craig Counsell as
yes.
the manager. For him to throw all that, you know, not throw it all away necessarily, but basically kind of tarnish that legacy by going to the biggest rival is just, it's hard to even wrap. It's, as a reporter, as a fan, it's hard to wrap your head around. Obviously, the money was a big part. Obviously, too, he talked yesterday, Counsell did, to a couple of select reporters, and he basically said that it was proximity had a lot to do with it, that he could still basically, you know, have his house in Milwaukee and still be pretty close to his kids, as he has a couple of kids still in school, you know, in I believe it's high school and middle school here in Milwaukee, and then he has a couple of kids in college. So all of that combined, and then the new challenge. He really stressed yesterday that this was about, you wanted a new challenge. And that I understand, because covering Council throughout the season, you could tell that he seemed burnt out to me. If you would have, and I think we did have this conversation over the summer and then into September, was I thought he was going to take a year off because I just thought he was kind of burnt out from the job. But what it seemed like actually was he's burnt out from being the Brewers manager. And I didn't think that Council could get to that point.
Right.
I thought his dream was to bring a title to Milwaukee. And maybe that was, but there came a point where that not at the forefront. If winning a World Series for your hometown Milwaukee Brewers was at the forefront of Craig Counsell's mind, then he would have stayed in Milwaukee.
Yes, he would have.
I mean, that's just the truth. And he didn't. And he went to their biggest rival, and now he's going to try to beat Milwaukee. Just to not even to win a World Series, but to get to the playoffs, he's going to have to beat Milwaukee.
So exactly.
It's just a wild scenario that I could have never imagined. And this is probably the last team that I thought Craig Counsell would have went to.
Yeah, I thought, because you and I also talked, we were at the Packer game, I believe it was a couple of weeks ago when they were playing the Vikings, and we talked about this. We talked about the idea of maybe Counsell would go to, you know, Cleveland as being an option. We didn't think that was going to be right because they're going to be rebuilding. We thought the Mets were a legitimate choice because the Mets were a team that had, they underachieved last year, and Buck Showalter essentially left. I don't know if he retired or not, as we're talking here with Hunter Bumgart from 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee. I thought that a team that would be in play would be Houston, because Houston had Dusty Baker retired, and they have a World Series-ready roster. They are ready to win now. They have won two World Series titles. They've been in, I believe, four in the last decade. I thought that would be the best fit for Counsell, in my opinion.
No, I thought so too. And as soon as, you know, that the report was that it was Brewers and Mets, but also there was another finalist in there, I'm like, oh, it's got to be Houston. Now, it was never reported that he talked to Houston. It was never reported that he went down there and interviewed. And, you know, him not going to Houston, I think, has a lot to do with proximity, and he wanted to try to stay close to home, but also a new challenge. I mean, this checked all the boxes except the rivalry. You know, except going to your rival, really. And that's the biggest box that we all as fans feel, right? We all feel that that's at the top, but he had other priorities, and he obviously prioritized those. The wild part about this is his contract expired October 31st, which is a week ago yesterday.
Yeah.
And according to The Athletic, in a great article they put out about how this all happened, the Cubs basically were like, well, he's going to be scooped up by the time his contract expired, whether it's by the Mets or the Brewers, so we're just not even going to We're probably not going to be able to, you know, do anything. But then November 1st hit, and he was still in the market. And Jed Hoyer, the president of the baseball operations for the Cubs, reached out. Counsell came down to the Chicago area on that Wednesday night, which would have been a week ago today. And they talked, and it was only those two because they had a manager. This is the wild part.
Yeah.
Ross was their manager. They had committed to him a month ago. They said, he's our guy. All that stuff. He won a World Series with the Cubs. You know, he was trying to build something, and he had just made it. The Cubs almost made the playoffs last year. So all that combined, Jed Hoyer, the president of baseball operations for the Cubs, meets with Counsell. He's the only one to meet with him because they wanted to keep it secret. They talk deep into the night, and then Counsell goes and meets with the Mets. He meets with the Guardians, and he's staying in contact a little bit with Milwaukee. But then by Sunday morning, a deal is done. So it moved quick, and then Jed Hoyer got on the plane, went to Tallahassee, and told David Ross in person that he was being let go after he had been told he'd be coming back, only to know that Craig Counsell took his job an hour and a half away. You know, it's just a wild series of events that I could have never put two and two together that was going to happen.
Yeah. So, Hunter, as we go ahead and get more into this here, we're talking with Hunter Bumgart from 97.3 The Game, and this is, I think, throwing everyone for a loop. There are a couple of questions I do want to ask. Where do you think this leaves the Brewers now with Counsell leaving? And obviously, Mark Canha got traded to Detroit a couple of weeks ago. So now they're in a bit of a precarious spot. Where do you think this leaves this team?
It's interesting. I mean, I thought overall, you know, the biggest question is who's going to be the next manager, right? That's number one. And there's a bunch of names that are out there. Ken Rosenthal, The Athletic, reporting yesterday that, you know, Pat Murphy is involved. Obviously, he was the bench coach under Craig Counsell.
Yep.
Don Mattingly was, but Don Mattingly just kind of reinvented his role with the Blue Jays, so I don't think he's going to come to Milwaukee.
I agree.
Joe Espada, bench coach in Houston. He was under Dusty Baker. Dodgers first base coach Clayton McCullough. Astros hitting coach Troy Snicker. And then the wild card name on this list from Ken Rosenthal is one of the biggest baseball reporters, former Brewers second baseman Ricky Weeks. And if you go there, and he was just promoted to a little bigger of a front office role, Ricky Weeks was, honestly, the day that this was all announced. That's an interesting name. Now, I thought maybe Luke Roy might be a name as well, if they're
going to
be a former player, just because catchers can see the game, you know, a lot differently. And Stephen Vogt, obviously, was a catcher. He got hired by Cleveland. So I thought maybe Luke Roy would be a name, but Ricky Weeks seems to maybe get some attention here. And he's really kind of went up in this Brewers organization. So that would be fascinating. He might be number one on my list, and that might be just my bias because of what Craig Counsell was able to do.
Sure.
Craig Counsell had never managed a major league game in his life, and he came in and led the Brewers to their most successful run in history. So can they do that again? A lot has to come together. Obviously, David Stearns was fantastic, and I believe in what Matt Arnold's doing. I think he's great at his job as well and learned a lot from Stearns, too. But I think this is going to be a fascinating hire, whether they go older, whether they go younger. I have not, you know, just speculation, but it would be fascinating if maybe Joe Maddon wanted to come back into baseball.
Wow. And that's a wild card. Wow.
You think about that. He was the one to bring the Cubs back to the World Series and win it for the first time in forever. So that would be the, you know, a story. Obviously, David Ross coming to Milwaukee would be a story, too.
That would There's be no true. Yeah.
They, you know, yeah. I mean, Tom Verducci of SI did say that Ross could be a candidate. So I just... There's so many names out there. We're going to see how this kind of goes. I think that's number one. And then it's, what do you do with Corbin Burnes? Because to me, it was a package kind of deal, right? If you were going to keep Craig Counsell, you were going to go for it again and maybe keep Corbin Burnes. But now I feel like it's a more play the young guys, you know, young manager, if they get a first-time manager, that kind of they all grow together. And this might not be the most competitive year in 2024. So maybe you do trade Burnes and get some prospects for him.
You know, looking at the, you know, looking at the situation again, as we're talking here with Hunter Bumgarner from 97.3 The Game, final question I have for you, Hunter, before I let you go. Now with Counsell gone, there's a lot of fans out there that are saying that they want to see Mark Attanasio sell the team. Do you think that that is possible?
No. You know, I don't think he is. He's committed. I mean, he said on this, when he spoke to the media on Monday afternoon, He's committed to this city, and he wants to be here for a very long time. And so I just do not see that happening. And is Mark to blame for some of this? I think absolutely. I think it, you know, whether it's the relationship, because you put it this way, and this is what I have no like direct knowledge of anything, but I'm just saying, if Craig Counsell, he wouldn't have went to the Cubs if there wasn't a little bit of wanting to jab at the Brewers just a little bit.
Like, that's a fair point.
Something had to have happened just a little bit, whether a relationship frayed with Mark or whoever it happened to be, that he just wanted to get back at him just a little bit. And I just got to think that whether it was Mark's fault or what have you, I don't know. But that's just, there's got to be something there. And so, and it's also interesting, and we got to keep this in mind too, that David Stearns left on his own accord. Craig Counsell left on his own accord. If the Brewers had this, you know, culture that was, you know, so great to work under Mark, right? That's two prominent guys that work under Mark that left on their own in the last few years.
Yes, it is.
It's just a little off to me. And again, I'm around these, you know, I'm around this organization a lot, but not, I haven't seen anything, you know, with my own two eyes, but it's just interesting to me. So I don't think he's going to sell the team. I think he is committed to winning overall. I just don't know. Maybe he's not going about it the best way and to keep these guys. So we'll see where this next stretch of baseball goes. Obviously the whole financing, the ballpark is something too. I think they'll get that deal done. They're not moving.
Right.
I saw some people speculating like, hey, oh my gosh, now that Counsell's gone, that's the beginning of the end for baseball in Milwaukee. No, let's not blow this
it's
out
not,
of proportion.
No.
Like, let's all calm down.
Yes, exactly.
But to answer your question, I know a lot of people are mad at Mark, and they have been, mad at him for not spending and everything. We'll see if that changes, but it's hard to do. They're the 30th out of 30 TV market that is not bringing in the revenue that you're going to see in other markets. So we'll see if the Brewers can still kind of be competitive in this small market way, and I think Mark's going to be around for it.
Well, needless to say, a lot of uncertainty surrounding the Brewers as we start to head even more into the offseason here. Craig Counsell signing a 5-year, $40 million contract to be the manager of the Cubs. He's the highest paid manager in the major leagues. Again, Hunter, thank you very much for joining me. We'll keep following along throughout the day if there's any breaking news about the Brewers potentially having a manager within the next week. And once we know, I'm sure we'll have you back on. Thank you for joining me once again, good sir.
Absolutely. Anytime, Alex. Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Hunter Bumgarner from 97.3 The Game. We're going to go ahead and recuperate a bit, and we'll be back with more of the Sports Cue right after this here on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Cue on WJJQ.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
the forecast is for a snow-filled season. Make sure you're ready for winter. Call the team at Midtown Plowing Services. Snow plowing, salting, and snow removal. Midtown Plowing Services can handle it all. Serving the Tomahawk area for over 20 years. Fully insured and ready to handle your snow plowing for commercial and residential customers. Call Josh at Midtown Plowing Services, 612-2626, so you're set for a snowy season. 612-2626 for Midtown Plowing Services.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist, tough and beautiful.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. That was a very long conversation. Thank you once again to Mr. Hunter Baumgart, former sports director up here at WJJQ and now executive producer for 97.3 The Game down in Milwaukee. A lot to get into. We'll follow the Brewers managerial situation closely over the next couple of weeks. We'll have him back on once Milwaukee hires a new manager. Some interesting names obviously put in the fray. Now it's time for me to go absolutely berserk on the Badgers. Okay, look, I didn't talk too much about the Badger loss to Ohio State a couple weeks ago because I honestly thought that them losing was expected. They played hard, they competed at a high level, and they were in it all the way until the end. No, whatever way you want to look at it, that's without Braylon Allen and Chez Mulusi. So if you want to say that they'll lose to Ohio State at home, that's fine. I don't have an issue with that. Ohio State right now, they look like one of the best teams in the country. They are currently the number one ranked team in the college football playoff. And they're probably going to be in the playoff when it's all said and done, unless they are upset in some sort of way. They have a top five draft pick, Marvin Harrison Jr., who looks like he's going to be the next great thing, and I would love for Green Bay to get him if he were able to fall. And their defense is legit. Their defense is literally the best in the country. How in the world do you lose to the Indiana Hoosiers? I know you were without Braylon Allen. I know you were without Chez Mulusi. I know you were without Tanner Mordecai. You cannot lose to Indiana. I am sorry. 8 penalties, 2 turnovers, 14 points. They outgained the Hoosiers the whole way, but it was dumb penalty after dumb penalty, especially when it mattered the most. Badgers outgained Indiana on the ground, 101-75. They outgained them through the air, 243-186. Outgained them total, 344-261. Now, I didn't watch a whole game. My younger brother was getting married over the weekend in Eau Claire. I had to focus on looking the best I can because, as I do say, I think I am the best-looking guy that I know. It's good to be king. All right, so let's just go ahead and get out of the way. The one thing I have to say is get it together. Get it together. Because if you don't get it together by the time the end of the season, you got 3 games left. If you don't get it together going into bowl season and you don't become bowl eligible, that's a big problem. And I'm upset just like most Badger fans are. Now, let me go ahead and give you a little bit of reality here. Just a little bit. It takes a while to build a dominant program. It takes a while. You cannot judge a college coach after 1 year. That is completely unfair. The best way to judge a college coach is after 4 years. The reason why is because that is a full recruiting class. That is your class that the coach put in. And you say, this is the product, these are the kids that I recruited. I remember when Paul Christ was a coach for the Badgers. And I remember everyone saying, oh, he's a great coach. They went undefeated in the regular season. They were within a touchdown of beating Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. They went to the Orange Bowl and kicked Miami, who, by the way, is an overrated program. But I don't point to that. I point to the fourth year, which was the year after that undefeated season, and the Badgers went 8-5. And that's when I said to myself, maybe this Paul Christ is a little bit overrated. I didn't say it out loud, but it sat there in the back of my head. So what I will say is it takes time to build a dominant program. Fickell's first year in Cincinnati, he was 4-8. People forget that. Yes, he built Cincinnati into the probably the best small school program in the whole country since SMU in the 80s. Nick Saban in his first year in Alabama, he went 7-6. It takes time to build a team up. It takes time to build a program the way that I think people are envisioning, because everyone wants instant gratification. Everybody wants instant gratification. Now, if he were struggling this much with this much talent in the NFL, I can understand where the fans would have a gripe. It's 1 year. It's year one. It's an experiment. But that was a bad loss Saturday. Period, plain and simple. Let's go over some scores from college football landscape. Number 7, Texas knocking off Kansas State 33-30 in overtime. Ohio State over Rutgers 35-16. Tennessee over UConn 59-3. Ole Miss edging out Texas A&M 38-35. An upset, though. Number 12, Notre Dame falling to Clemson 31-23. Number 18, Utah over Arizona State 55-3. Number 17, Air Force suffering their first loss of the season to Army 23-3. Number 10, Oklahoma upset in the final game of the Bedlam series against Oklahoma State 27-24. Number 4, Florida State over Pitt 24-7. Number 15, Louisville over Virginia Tech 34-3. Number 14, Missouri gave Georgia a bit of a run for their money. Georgia ended up winning 30-21. Number 21, Tulane over East Carolina, 13-10. Number 9, Penn State over Maryland, 51-15. Number 23, James Madison over Georgia State, 42-14. I love when we get mid-major schools in the top 25. Those are the best. Number 6, Oregon over Cal, 63-19. Number 22, Kansas over Iowa State, 28-21. Number 5, Washington over number 24, USC, 52-42. Number 2, Michigan, cheaters, over Purdue, 41-13. Number 16, Oregon State, over Colorado, 26-19. And another upset, number 20, UCLA, losing to Arizona, 27-10. And these are the games we've got upcoming for this week. We do have a Thursday night game involving a top 25 team, 11th-ranked Louisville. Now, these rankings, by the way, are all college football playoff rankings, just for perspective. Number 11, Louisville against Virginia. That'll be on Thursday at 6:30 on ESPN. Now for the Saturday games. Number 23, Tulane at home against Tulsa. A top 10 matchup for you.
Are you ready for some football?
Number 3, Michigan at number 10, Penn State. That's the big noon kickoff game on Fox. Number 8, Alabama at Kentucky. Number 16, Kansas at home against Texas Tech. Number 21, Arizona at Colorado. Number 25, Kansas State against Baylor. Number 4, Florida State at home against Miami. And now, another top 15 matchup for you.
Are you ready for some football?
Number 13, Tennessee at number 14, Missouri. That's going to be a good one. Another top 20 matchup.
Are you ready for some football?
Number 5, Washington at home against number 18, Utah. Number 22, Iowa taking on Rutgers. Number 15, Oklahoma State at UCF. Number 12, Oregon State at home against Stanford. Number 17, Oklahoma at home against West Virginia. And another top 10 matchup for you. This is prime time on ESPN.
Are you ready for some football?
Number 2, Georgia against number 9, Ole Miss. Number 19, LSU against Florida. Number 7, Texas at TCU. Number 1, Ohio State against Michigan State. Number 24, North Carolina against Duke. And number 6, Oregon. They're at home against USC. Coming up on the second half of the Sports Cue, we'll sit down with Hatchet Girl Swim Coach Melissa Neiman to talk about the upcoming state meet taking place. Also, we will have highlights from the Hatchet football season this past week. It'll be about a 9-minute highlight package. All you got to do is just sit back and enjoy the great touchdown calls I had. Then we'll also go over the NBA in-season tournament fiasco that's taking place. And we'll also break down how the Badger basketball team can win the Big Ten Championship. That's all coming up on the second half of the Sports Cue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. It is currently 40 degrees, snowing outside. It's 6 o'clock, time for CBS News.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Cue on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks. Republicans running for president in 2024 will hit the debate stage again in a few hours in Miami without the party's frontrunner. CBS's Christian Benavides has a preview.
the state's governor, Ron DeSantis, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, Senator Tim Scott, and entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy are all set to spar on foreign and domestic issues. The candidates are debating for the first time since the outbreak of war between Israel and Hamas, presenting an opening for Haley, who also served as ambassador to the UN.
Haley's been gaining ground in the primary race lately. New York prosecutors say it's obvious Ivanka Trump was involved in her family's fraud scheme after questioning her for hours today in New York. State Attorney General Letitia James.
Ivanka Trump was cordial. She was disciplined. She was controlled. And she was very courteous. But her testimony raises some questions with regards to its credibility.
Ivanka denies this. Israel's defense minister says its military has reached the heart of Gaza City and they are tightening the noose on Hamas as the terror group loses its grip on northern Gaza. Here's CBS's Skylar Henry.
Israeli troops are pushing further into Gaza City in an effort to dismantle the terror group and to retrieve more than 240 hostages.
Investigators busted a high-profile sex ring in two states.
Prosecutors say hundreds bought sex services through the sophisticated operation that had two websites and brothels in Massachusetts and Virginia. Acting Massachusetts U.S. Attorney Josh Levy.
This commercial sex ring was built on secrecy and exclusivity, catering to a wealthy and well-connected clientele.
CBS's Wendy Gillette says that clientele ranged from lawmakers to military officers and government contractors. They use luxury apartments as brothels. The FDA just gave Eli Lilly the green light to start marketing a new weight loss drug. Here's reporter Alexander Tin.
Zepbound should be available by the end of the year, according to Eli Lilly, and might be priced cheaper than its competitors from Novo Nordisk, which are branded as Ozempic and Wegovy. There's also some research to suggest that Eli Lilly's drug might be more effective than Novo Nordisk's drug, though full head-to-head studies haven't been published.
Named Taylor Swift as its Artist of the Year. She had 65 songs that hit its global daily top 100 this year after the pop star launched her massive Eras tour and dropped two re-recorded albums. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
It's easy to think all money managers are pretty much the same. But at Fisher Investments, we're clearly different.
Different how? You sell high commission investment products, right?
No. Fisher Investments doesn't sell any commission-based investment products.
Well, you must earn commissions on trades.
Nope. Never at Fisher. We're a fiduciary obligated to act in our client's best interest. It's the highest standard of care for a financial advisor.
How do you know what's in their best interest?
We get to know our clients and then tailor a portfolio based on their goals and needs.
But you probably sneak in some hidden and layered fees.
No. We have one transparent management fee, structured so we do better when our clients do better.
Wow, you really do look out for your clients.
That's because our top priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. It might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments. Clearly different money management.
Investments and securities involve the risk of loss.
Big retailers expanding on an effort it started during back-to-school season.
Walmart is expanding its sensory-friendly hours for people with issues including autism, ADHD, and PTSD. This woman says it's good for her son.
I think it's great because they're setting aside time for that for somebody, and I just think it's a beautiful thing.
Starting Friday, this will be daily from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. in all Walmart stores around the country. Lights are lowered, the music's turned off, and TVs show a static image. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Barbie's honoring a Native American icon. Wilma Mankiller revitalized the Cherokee Nation's government in the 80s and 90s and won a Medal of Freedom for improving health care and housing services. The tribe's population also doubled under her leadership as infant mortality rates declined. Mankiller died in 2010 at 64. Her doll is part of Barbie's Inspiring Women series. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:06 p.m. and a good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. You're currently tuned into the Sports Queue here on WJJQ. 40 degrees, some snow flurries falling here in the Northwoods. Here's your weather forecast.
The forecast for the Northwoods.
It hasn't been a very pleasant day, with areas of light rain, fog, and drizzle. Temperatures into the upper 30s, falling now to the low 30s. As spotty showers wind down, it's going to start to turn quite breezy. In fact, by tomorrow, we'll have a sunny start to the day. Highs will hit 43 degrees, but those winds will be whipping out of the west, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, pulling in a few more clouds. By Thursday night, we'll be mostly cloudy. Lows fall to 28, and Friday, we stay cloudy and cool, with a high of 38 degrees. I'm WJJQ meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5. WJJQ, Alex Cook here with you on a snowy night here in November. Well, it definitely feels a little bit like deja vu. I mean, we talked a little bit about the Brewers at the beginning of the season, but last week we sat down with Melissa Neiman to get her thoughts on the sectional meet taking place down at Prairie River Middle School in Merrill last week. And lo and behold,
a few moments later,
she's still here.
Melissa, I'm back.
Yes, Melissa Neiman, girls swim coach for Tomahawk. Welcome back to the show.
What a great reason to be here today.
Of course, it's a wonderful reason. Yes. Absolutely wonderful reason. So Tomahawk, as a team, they finished 10th, I believe, in Correct. The sectional meet. Mm-hmm. But we do have another state qualifying swimmer, Paige, to keeps yes. going back for her third year. Let's now focus in on your team first. What did you think of your team's performance last week?
Our team at sectionals was crazy. One of the first swims was our medley relay and our backstroker, Emma Hoff. I was like, who is that in the water? Where did she come from? Like, she just blew her original 50 backstroke time out of the water. Get it? And
here, hold on. There you
there
go.
There it is. And then from that moment on, they were just dropping time like crazy. There was a lot of, I can't believe I just did that. I know. My assistant coach and I, we're telling them, if you do the taper and you put in the work, it's going to work. And yeah. Guess what? It did.
Yeah, it definitely did. It definitely did. Let's go ahead and focus in on Paige to keep. She returns to the state meet for the third straight year.
Correct.
Hard to believe that she has been there three straight times. What has her development been like as a coach to a swimmer like her throughout her career?
Her entire career. So she did not go her freshman year because she did not swim high school her freshman year. So I imagine
really?
If she swam high school her freshman year, she would have went. But she is one of the most determined athletes I've ever coached. She has a goal, and she's going to meet that goal, and she's going to put in the work to achieve it. She's an inspiration to all the other athletes on our team, just the hard work she puts in, and it's constant. She's, I want to do more, or that didn't feel right. How can we fix that? And I love that about her as an athlete. She's so driven.
Yeah, state runner-up also in the 50 free last year.
100 fly last year.
Thank you. Again, we're talking here with
Hatch. This is her first year going to state in the 50 free. Last year, it was the 200 freestyle.
There you go.
We knocked it down the distance a little bit.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, talking here with Melissa Neiman, the expert on swimming here in this studio here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. What else has impressed you the most about this team this year, Melissa?
Swimming is a lot of hard work, and we put in a lot of yards throughout the season. Like I said, we're 5 days awake, 2 hours every day since August. We're 90 days almost into this season, and they're always smiling, laughing. They leave practice goofing off like nothing ever happened. They put in the work, and they leave, and they don't complain, and they're ready to go on to the next thing, and they're always looking for improvement. They communicate with me so well, like, hey, this isn't feeling well. How can I make this better? They're just a great group of girls. I don't know, how lucky am I to coach them?
That is wonderful. And again, let's go ahead and out, because we've officially wrapped a bow on the season as a team.
Yep, we're done. Just Paige is left.
Yep, just Paige is left. What are you going to remember the most about this particular team this season?
Oh, I just think of the camaraderie that we have. A lot of goofing around and singing and having fun and dancing. Just, they were a joyful team to be around. Very just positive. And that's hard to find when you have high school age girls in the same room. And, if you have high school age girls, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
There was no cattiness. They were just all so supportive of each other. And I wish every team had what I have.
That is wonderful. That is really wonderful. So, state meet this Friday evening, Waukesha South High School. Paige to keep will be competing in two events.
Two events.
The 50 freestyle and the 100 butterfly. What does she need to do to get that elusive state championship medal.
She's been practicing with everything she has. Today, she's, you know, she was kind of second-guessing, like, some of her strokes. I wasn't feeling fast enough. And she was like, hey, let's work on this. So she knows what needs to be done, and she will get it done. There's not a doubt in my mind that she's going to do her very best on Friday. She has a goal, and she knows what she wants. The 50 free is such a fast race.
Yes, it is.
Basically, you go in there, you zone out, and you get it done.
Yep.
Her last race, she tied with Vivian Lamers from Rhinelander, and you never see that in swimming. So it can come down to a touch, a slower start. So we need to just work on all those little things to get her ready for Friday.
It could come down to a fingernail.
Honestly,
it really could.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a blink. I mean, the fastest swimmer in the 50 free is a 24.08. Paige is a 24.73. That's what we're talking about here. Just tiny bits of time.
Yes. Just go ahead and keep shaving them off.
Yes. Yes.
So, Melissa, what are your final thoughts as we wrap it up here?
You know, I just want to thank the community. I've seen a lot of people this week, and a lot of the teachers have bopped in my office and said congratulations. And thank you so much to WJJQ for supporting us through this whole season. You know, Girls Swim, you look at our fan base and you look at the crowd, there's usually one person there. So for you guys to be here and back us up, we greatly appreciate that.
Absolutely. Again, if Paige wins either event, let's go ahead and put this in perspective for everyone. If Paige wins either event in the state meet this upcoming Friday, she'll be the first girl swimmer and the second overall swimmer in school history to take home a state title. The other one is Travis Phillips back in 2020.
Yep, and he was the trivia question today. And
yes,
I was
he was.
Second caller. I was super disappointed. yes.
Wah, wah, wah.
I know. Felt so bad about that. Yeah, we're very excited for Paige. I want to thank our athletic director, Ryan Flynn, for he's putting together a send-off for her in the gym tomorrow with all the students.
That's wonderful.
I guess that was a tradition that they used to have in Tomahawk, and they stopped doing it. So not only are they going to be talking about Paige, our esports team also made it to state.
Hey,
so,
there you go.
Yes, congratulations to them as well. And I know we had nine musicians from our chorus and our band that are actually going on to conference as well. So there's a lot of great things happening in Tomahawk. And
yes,
our athletic director is really making sure that these kids know that they are supported by the school district and the staff. And I couldn't thank him enough for what he's doing for her.
Absolutely. We have all the stuff going on, by the way, and winter sports starts next week also.
Kabam.
Yeah, there you go. Again, Melissa Neiman, Hatchet Girl Swim Coach. It was a pleasure talking
thank
to you throughout
you.
The course of the season, Melissa.
I will keep everyone posted as
Absolutely.
Soon as I know. My friends know that I am on Facebook, and I will post it immediately, and I will text Alex.
Yes, you will, because you knew. I'll go ahead and tell the story. One of my friends was getting married down in Madison back in October, and all of a sudden I get a text while my wife is in getting coffee at Starbucks, and all of a sudden it's like, Tomahawk is in the playoffs for football. I'm like, wait, what happened? I'm like, I was just so unplugged. I was just like, wait, that happened? Melissa was the first one to text me, believe it or not.
Yeah, I kind of am like a Hatchet super fan. You can ask my husband, like, I could wear blue and gold every day for 365 days. I have a lot of Hatchet pride.
There you go. There you go.
I am so proud of all of our student athletes and our musicians. And go Hatchet.
Yes, absolutely. Melissa Neiman, thank you for joining
me. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll talk some Badger basketball for you. We'll be back with more after this here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Sweet, creamy, crunchy, and peanut buttery to satisfy your pie craving with this month's Blizzard Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Pie Blizzard. This limited edition treat mixes creamy, chocolatey Reese's Peanut Butter Cups and crunchy graham cracker pie crust blended into Dairy Queen's smooth, world-famous vanilla soft serve. And yes, of course, there's whipped topping. No pie is complete without it. Head to Dairy Queen and try one. Skip the line and order from the DQ app, and your Blizzard treat will be waiting when you arrive. Dairy Queen, open with new winter hours, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., located on North 4th Street, overlooking the Wisconsin River.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. Thank you very much to Melissa Neiman for coming in for today's Sports Q show. Hope it was a lot of fun talking with her. And obviously, good luck to Paige DeCape and everybody going up at the state tournaments or state meets taking place this upcoming weekend. Let's go ahead and get into some Badger basketball. I don't have intro music for this. I'm going to work on it, though. I apologize. So here's what I'm going to say about this Badger basketball team. First test passed. It was an easy test. They beat Arkansas State 105-76. By the way, a Cole Center record for most points scored in a Badger basketball game. Chucky Hepburn had a great night, 20.6 assists. You have four Badgers in double figures, balanced scoring all the way around. They shot 65% from the field, 50% from three-point range, 70% from the free throw line. I'd like to see that free throw number go up. And listen, you're not going to shoot 65% from the field and 50% from three-point range every single game. It's just not going to happen. But if you can provide more consistency offensively, I think the Badgers can make a legitimate case to take home the Big Ten championship this year. Now, the Big Ten is going to be competitive, but it took a dip. There were only three teams that were ranked in the top 25 preseason AP poll heading into this year. That was Michigan State, Purdue, and Illinois. Michigan State lost to James Madison in overtime already. The Badgers already have an upper hand, whether you want to look at it or not. They already have a boost with that loss. Now, Michigan State and Rutgers. Rutgers also lost to Princeton on Monday, an Ivy League school. They have lost to non-conference teams. Now, elsewhere, you take a look elsewhere. Ohio State, they struggled with Oakland. Indiana struggled with Florida Gulf Coast. I remember Dunk City like it was yesterday. Now, taking a look at the Badgers basketball schedule, they've got three top 15 opponents that they're going to be going up against before they begin Big Ten play, before the majority of Big Ten play begins. They've got Tennessee this Friday. Tennessee has become one of the best NCAA sports programs overall in the last couple of years. Let's just go ahead and call it what it is. They really, really have performed incredibly, incredibly well. There will be a team that comes out of nowhere in Big Ten. There's always teams that come out of nowhere in every single conference that you have. I believe last year was Penn State with that run that they made in the Big Ten tournament. Wisconsin is a team that if they're able to get consistency offensively, defensively, I've got no issues. They gave up 76 to Arkansas State. It was a back and forth game. Everybody was getting buckets. That's not going to happen again. That may be Wisconsin. My advice to the Badgers, in order to help give yourself a boost for this particular season, win as many non-conference games as you can, and then let Big Ten take care of it the rest of the way. They've got Tennessee. They got fifth-ranked Marquette as well. Wisconsin Marquette, I really, really want to see if I could try and go to that game. I've never been to the Kohl Center before. I may need to make a trip. And then they also go down to Arizona. Arizona is still one of the best college basketball programs in the country, no matter whatever way you slice it. So my advice again, just win as many non-conference games as you can, then let the rest take care of itself. Badgers' first Big Ten opponent, by the way, is against Michigan State. Lost to James Madison. Never know what can happen here. The world of sports is a very, very wonderful thing, isn't it? So yeah, Badger basketball, they've got 9th-ranked Tennessee coming up this Friday. Tip-off is at 8 o'clock. Game will be broadcast on Peacock. After the break, why I think the Packers win was good, but I also believe that it's a reality check that's needed. That is coming up next here on the Sports Q, here on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Robin Meir Electrical Contracting is a factory authorized Generac dealer with over 40 years of experience.
So call to get a quote and schedule your Generac generator install or service upgrade now, as well as other electrical needs. Our schedule is filling up. Both Robin and his son Nicholas are state licensed certified master electricians with no restrictions. Robin Muir Electrical Contracting, your local Tomahawk electrician. Call today at 715-966-4397.
Foley's Tree Service, caring for your trees since 1980. This is Ted Foley, ISA certified arborist and second generation family owner. Our employees are trained and educated professionals who respect your property as if it was their own. Whether it is tree removals, pruning, stump grinding, lot and land clearing, tree preservation, or even storm damage cleanup, we are here when you need us. Call us at 715-453-2407, or for our Minocqua listeners, 715-358-2406. Check us out online at foleystreeservice.com. Foley's Tree Service, fully insured and offering free estimates.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. And like a little Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, huh? No, I have a feeling that almost everyone, not everybody, but pretty much everyone here in the Northwoods would be, that's female, is an American girl, wouldn't you say? It's currently 6:23. We're going to get into weather in just a few minutes. We also have some NFL predictions to make. But first, let's go ahead and get into the Packers.
And an opening day dagger!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Packers have won a game! Jordan Love played well! What about love? And yes, I am a believer. Do you believe in love? All right, Packers knock off the Rams 20-3 this past Sunday. They ended their four-game losing streak, improving their record to 3-5 on the season. Now I'm going to show you the positives and what I liked, and then we'll go ahead and do a quick reality check. Sunday, I thought that was the best defensive performance that the Packers put on. And yes, I got back in time to watch a game after my brother got married. Marriage is a wonderful thing, isn't it? That was, again, the best defensive performance of the season. The Packers held the Rams. I know it wasn't with a backup quarterback. Brett Rippon is not a starter in this league. He was running around for his life. He had happy feet everywhere he turned. They had just 187 yards of total offense. The Rams did two takeaways and just 68 yards rushing. The Packers' run defense has performed well over the last couple of games. And the rookies played incredibly well. Carl Brooks, Colby Wooland, Carrington Valentine vaulted into the starting lineup with Green Bay trading away Rasul Douglas. You also had Anthony Johnson Jr. come away with his first career interception. The rookies on defense played incredibly well. Now, it was against a backup quarterback, but it's still a tall task going up against that deadly receiving duo in Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua for the Rams. On the offensive side, they were shaky. Obviously, they were shaky, but they got the job done. See what happens when you give Aaron Jones the ball? 24 touches, 99 yards and a touchdown. Jordan Love, by the way, had an efficient game. He wasn't asked to do too much. He was essentially asked to just manage the game, play well, don't make any mistakes, and that's what he did. 20 of 26, 228 yards, and a score. The things that concerned me were the penalties. 8 penalties in that game. Now, again, 2 of them were offensive offsides, which I know that they existed, but it seems like a long time since I have seen one of those called. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but it's very, very difficult to look at it and say, okay, that's what they should call. They had 2 turnovers. Both of them were fumbles in the third quarter, and that was when, you know, the ball was wet. You still have to protect it. Dontavian Wicks, that particular fumble, and at that point, just go down. Just go down. You don't need to try and get out of bounds. Now, if you were trying to get out of bounds with a minute to go in the game, and that ultimately happened, that's just unfortunate. Just hang on to the ball, get the first down. And Luke Musgrave caught his first touchdown pass. Again, another celebration. 3 catches, 51 yards, and a touchdown for Luke Musgrave as the Packers go to 3-5. So that was a very good performance from Green Bay. Matt LaFleur did a good job calling that game. The Packers, as a whole, performed well. Offense, defense, special teams, everything came together. Now, we got over to the positives. Now let me go ahead and say, It's just one game. It is just one game. Let's go ahead and give everyone a check. They're still third in the division. They are currently ahead of the Bears, who, by the way, play this upcoming Thursday night. I'll make the prediction along with my Week 10 picks coming up soon. And they have a very rough stretch coming up over the next four games. Their next game is in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's offense is shaky at best. I think that if Green Bay were to win this game, they're going to have to win it ugly, which they can do. They have the ability to do that. They're at Pittsburgh. They've got the Chargers at home, and the Chargers are talented, but they seem to be underachieving a little bit. I know that they've won the last couple of games, but still, it doesn't really say a lot if the Chargers are beating the New York Jets 27-6 on a Monday night. That's just me. Then they go to Detroit on Thanksgiving. Hopefully they don't get their butts eaten like a Thanksgiving turkey against Detroit. And then they've got Kansas City at home. Kansas City, right now, is one of the best teams. If Green Bay is able to go 2-2 in that stretch, that's a success. Because that puts you at 5-7, and the final five games that you have are all winnable games. After that, the schedule gets incredibly easier. They go to the Giants on Monday night. The Giants are a mess. They've got Tampa Bay at home. Tampa Bay is trending in the wrong direction. They go to Carolina on Christmas Day. Carolina is one of the worst teams in the NFL. You go to Minnesota, and then you have Chicago to close out the year. If the Green Bay goes 2-2 in this stretch, they have a chance to squeak by people and maybe surprise some people. But let's just take it one game at a time. They got Pittsburgh this upcoming week. Steelers have a very good defense. Offense is questionable with Kenny Pickett at quarterback. Definitely a winnable game for Green Bay. Other scores from across the NFL. Pittsburgh over Tennessee, speaking to the Steelers, 20-16. Kansas City over Miami, 21-14. Green Bay over the Rams, 20-3. Minnesota over Atlanta. The Vikings continue to impress, 31-28. New Orleans over Chicago, 24-17. Washington over New England, 20-17. Houston winning a wild one over Tampa Bay. That C.J. Stroud kid looks like the real deal. 470 yards and 5 touchdowns. Houston wins 39-37. Baltimore absolutely obliterating Seattle, 37-3. That's the second straight division leader that Baltimore has blown out this season. Very impressive. Cleveland over Arizona, shutting them out, as a matter of fact, 27-0. Indianapolis over Carolina, 27-13. Vegas knocking off the Giants, 30-6. Philadelphia over Dallas, 28-23. Cincinnati over Buffalo, 24-18. And the Chargers over the Jets, 27-6. Coming up next, NFL Week 10 predictions here on the Sports Q, here on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
John J. Shuni Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk. Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Slight chance for scattered showers tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows dip down to about 30. West winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast again tomorrow. Chance of snow showers. Highs around 40. Cloudy tomorrow night. Lows around 30. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's 40 degrees.
Premier Heating and Cooling, your local Lennox dealer, would like to remind you the cold weather season is on the way. Make sure your furnace is ready. Lennox makes the air warmer, drier, cleaner, and better with innovative systems that are exceptionally quiet and energy efficient to save you money. Ask about the buy one and get one free special on a Wi-Fi enabled thermostat with a qualifying purchase of a heating and cooling unit. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700 for a free estimate for your Lennox heating needs and great service after the sale, with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
We're proud of our history as a century-old Wisconsin institution. Hi, I'm Sue from Crossbridge Community Bank. We stay true to the simple, community-based ideals of a mutual bank that exists to serve its people. That is true for our business customers as well. We want to provide you with everything your business needs to grow and flourish. Stop in to either our Merrill or Tomahawk locations and see what makes Crossbridge Community Bank different from the others. Maybe it's time to make the switch. A bank that puts purpose first. What's your purpose? Let us help you realize it. Visit crossbridge.bank to find out more.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday. Hard to believe it's already snowing up here in the Northwoods, still falling. But enough about that. Let's go ahead and jump right into our NFL Week 10 predictions, shall we? All right, four teams are off this week. The Kansas City Chiefs, the LA Rams, the Miami Dolphins, and the Philadelphia Eagles. I had a very good week, as a matter of fact. I ended up going, let me look at the numbers here, 11-3 last week. Let's go ahead and start with the Thursday night game. It is a stinker for you. The Bears and the Panthers will have the broadcast of that game for you here on WJJQ. I think the Bears are going to win this game. I think that the Panthers are still learning how to win with Bryce Young at quarterback. Plus, the Bears, they are still struggling recently. Both teams, this is going to be an absolute crapshoot. I got the Bears winning by one, though, by default, essentially. We got another game in Frankfurt for you on Sunday morning. Get your Bloody Marys ready. Wisconsin, Indianapolis, and New England. The Patriots are going to need to do some drinking after what happened to them this season. I got the Colts winning this game. I think it'll be a close game, but I think Gardner Minshew will outperform Mac Jones 24-21. Green Bay, Pittsburgh, you know I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers considering we live in Wisconsin. I do think it'll be a very competitive game. This is going to be a very ugly game, at least from what I can tell. But I think it'll be Green Bay over Pittsburgh 16-14. New Orleans on the road. They're traveling to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. The Vikings with a resounding win over the Atlanta Falcons last week. I got the Saints winning this game. I think the Saints are just the better team overall. I do think that the Vikings will be competitive. Again, they've got Josh Dobbs, a quarterback who will do the most with less. I think that it'll be New Orleans winning 27-20. We got San Francisco and Jacksonville going toe-to-toe. This is going to be a good game. I'm excited for this. This will be one of my first bold picks for the week.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
I got the San Francisco 49ers beating the Jacksonville Jaguars 24-23. I think they break their three-game losing streak. After that, we got Tennessee and Tampa Bay. That is going to be an interesting matchup. Tennessee looking to get back in the win column. Will Levis looks like is going to be the starter the rest of the way. Tampa Bay has lost four straight. I'm going to take the Titans to win this one 23-20. I think that Derrick Henry will run over that Tampa Bay defense. Cincinnati and Houston going toe-to-toe. Joe Burrow against C.J. Stroud, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, going up against a quarterback that looks like the future of this particular team. I'm going to take the Bengals, but I think the Texans will be incredibly competitive. They're not ready to be there just yet. They're probably a year ahead of their development. I'm going to take the Bengals 28-24. Baltimore at home against Cleveland. This is going to be a very intriguing matchup as well. I think that the Baltimore Ravens, they have performed incredibly well against some really stiff competition this year. Their defense is legit. I could see this being a defensive struggle. I'm going to take the Ravens to win this game. I do think both teams will put up 20 points, but I would not be surprised if one of the teams gets a defensive score, like a pick six or a scoop and score. I got the Ravens winning 24-20. Atlanta and Arizona. Again, the Cardinals, good news for them. They're going to be getting Kyler Murray back this week. I don't know how much that will help them, though. I got the Falcons winning 23-17. Detroit at the Chargers. Here is another bold pick for you.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
I think that it's going to be the Chargers pulling off the upset over the Lions. I think that the Lions will come off the bye a little bit rusty, and I think that the Chargers, after winning two straight, will go ahead and get the victory. I think the Chargers win 28-21. The Seattle Seahawks taking on the Washington Commanders in Seattle. Seattle still reeling after losing to Miami last week. Commanders knocking off New England. I do think this is going to be a close game. Washington, for whatever reason, they seem to play up and down to their competition outside of last week. I got the Seahawks winning this game. I think it'll be close. I think that Seattle will win by one, 31-30. America's game of the week, and it's an NFC East battle. We got the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants.
All hail the New York Giants.
New York Giants!
Love that. I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys to win. The Giants are currently in free-falling mode with Daniel Jones out for the season. Tommy DeVito is going to be their starter, who I had to check and see if he was related to Danny DeVito in any sort of way. I got the Cowboys winning 31-14. Vegas taking on the New York Jets. This is going to be a very, very interesting. The primetime games this week are going to be absolutely interesting. We'll have the broadcast of this game for you here on WJJQ. Sunday night coverage begins at 6:30. I got the Raiders winning this game. I think the Jets defense is very, very good, but I think their offense is lethargic. I got the Raiders winning 20-17. And finally, we have the Monday night game, the Denver Broncos at the Buffalo Bills. I do think that this will be a closer game than people realize, but I still think the Bills will come away with the victory. Now, Buffalo has struggled very, very much over the last few weeks, especially last week against Cincinnati. Denver has won back-to-back games, and they also knocked off Kansas City. Keep that in mind. So I think they'll be hungry, and they'll try and keep this momentum going. I do think it'll go all the way down to the wire, but due to the Bills being at Orchard Park in this game at home on a Monday night, I am going to go with the Buffalo Bills winning this game. Final score will be 28-27. Those are my NFL Week 10 predictions here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Is your furniture still too nice to throw out, but you need something different? No worries. We take trade-ins and offer great deals every day at Tomahawk Furniture and Gun. Stop in at 109 West Wisconsin Avenue to see our latest lineup and all your hunting needs too. Did you hear? We opened a second location as well. Our new and used furniture and mattress outlet is located at 730 East 2nd Street in downtown Merrill. That's right, two great locations for all your wants and needs. It's Tomahawk Furniture and Gun, downtown Tomahawk, right next to the Pine Tree Supper Club, and our Merrill Furniture and Mattress Outlet on East 2nd Street. Prices so low, you've got to bend over to see them.
Attention deer hunters! The Good Steward Express features a large selection of hunting products for the deer season. Choose from a variety of tree stands, plus deer scents, feeds, hunting clothing, lacrosse boots, and your hunting license. The Good Steward Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk, also has a nice selection of beer and liquor as you relax after the hunt. Brian and the The Good Steward Express crew wish you the best of success during the deer hunting season.
This is Stephanie Ahrens, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Health in Motion in Tomahawk. Health in Motion is a therapist-owned outpatient clinic with 8 locations in northern Wisconsin. Our skilled providers treat a wide variety of musculoskeletal conditions, post-surgical cases, vertigo, jaw pain, and many more. Here at Health in Motion, we value our one-on-one time with patients using treatments backed by research and cutting-edge technology to get our patients better faster and with greater satisfaction. Give us a call to schedule an evaluation or a complimentary 15-minute screen with one of our therapists. Majority of the time, we can get you scheduled within 48 hours. Simply call 453-6650 or look at our website, himwi.com.
So come on!
Cold weather season is here, so make sure your vehicle is as dependable as your car dealer. For 39 years, Gary at the Auto House has been getting generations of his customers ready for winter driving with quality vehicles, and right now is a great time to stop at the Auto House at Tomahawk and check out their inventory with the best selection of vehicles in the area. Cars, trucks, SUVs, there's over 40 units to choose from, and if you don't see your car on the lot, just ask Gary and he'll do his best to find the vehicle that you're looking for. The Auto House in Tomahawk features an ASE-certified technician if your vehicle needs repair work. And remember, if you ever need a rental vehicle, the Auto House rents vehicles too, and that's what you call doing business the right way. The Auto House is on North 4th Street in Tomahawk and online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net. That's the Auto House North 4th and Tomahawk.
2,000 years later.
That was a long show, wasn't it? Welcome back, everyone, at the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ, wrapping everything up here. I'd like to thank Hunter Baumgart and Melissa Neiman for joining me on today's show. I'd like to extend an official good luck to Hatchet Girls swimmer Paige Shakeep. That'll compete in the WIAA state meet coming up at Waukesha South this Friday. Events begin at 5:30. She'll be competing in the 50 freestyle and the 100 butterfly. Thank you very much for tuning in. Our first broadcast of Hatchet Winter Sports will be a week from tomorrow night as Tomahawk Girls basketball opens up the season on the road at Butternut. Fairmont Orthodontics pregame show at 6:50, tip-off at 7:15. Terry Tim will join me in the broadcast booth. This has been a very, very fun fall season. I do have a little bit of a treat for you as we go ahead and officially close the door on the fall. Obviously, with the snow falling here in the Northwoods, it seems like that is officially going to be the case. Snowing quite well up here, and again, fall is officially over, so that means that I have put together a football highlight montage for you. That's right, we're going to end the show with a football highlight montage for you here on the Sports Q on WJJQ, and I figured that this is appropriate. Hatchet football team overachieved this season, 6-6, 3-4 Northwoods football conference play. They ended up getting some big wins. They also had some great touchdown highlights as well, and this was in spite of the injuries that took place. So now as we go ahead and officially close the book on the fall, it will officially end this Friday. Hard to believe that the winter sports season's here. I met with a couple of coaches. Girls basketball, excited to see what the future holds for them. Also very interesting to see what the hockey team will do with their new head coach in Dewey Riley as well. Dewey Riley, who was also the football coach from this past season. I think that he'll enjoy this highlight list for you. It is a long one, I will say, but I think that you'll enjoy it as well. All of the best Hatchet football highlights from this past season. We'll go ahead and wrap up the Sports Q here on WJJQ. Thank you very much for tuning in, and have a sportacular day. I'll see you next week.
Hey-ya!
And the shotgun is going to be Lentz this time. Gatlin Mortimer's in the backfield with four receivers in the game. Sending a man in motion, that's Varicose Morales. Lentz takes and he is going to throw, rolling out to the right, looking deep downfield. He's going to air it out into tight coverage. Intercepted! Picked off at the 45-yard line by Braden Larson. Intended for Owen Hendy, but it was underthrown. Braden Larson able to get under it, and the Hatchets take over at the Westfield 45-yard line. Larson takes, quarterback sneak up the middle. Braden Larson scores! Tomahawk! Braden Larson with the rushing touchdown! It's 22-14 Tomahawk with 3 minutes left of the game! Roseneau in the pistol with two receivers in the game. And now man in motion, that's Johnson. Roseneau's going to take handoff. Phillips tries to get out of the end zone. He is hit in the end zone. I don't think he got out. Is that a safety? It is! Safety for the Hatchets! They take the lead 16-14 with 5:36 to go in this game. That is how you flip a ball game. And it'll be Riley in the shotgun with two receivers to the left. Caleb Dickens in the backfield for the Hatchets here to begin the second. Riley takes. He's going to roll out to the left. Looking to throw. He's going to lock it down the field. Got Larson open. Makes the catch in stride. Larson to the 20. 10. 5. Touchdown. Tomahawk. Braden Larson. 58-yard catch and run from Rex Riley. And the Hatchets with a quick strike. It's 12-0.
They really haven't. Third down and 13 from the 7-yard line. Roseneau in the pistol again. Three receivers to the left and one to the right. In the backfield is Phillips for Clintonville on 3rd and 13 from the 7. Roseneau in the pistol. Clintonville 3 of 8 on third downs. Roseneau's going to throw. He's standing in the end zone. He's rolling out to the right. He gets away. He'll take off and run across the 10. He lost the football. It's loose, rolling around on the ground and recovered by the Hatchets at the 19-yard line. Braden Lamer, the freshman, with the recovery. Tomahawk takes over at the Clintonville 19 with 7:35 to go in the game.
Second down and 10 from the 22-yard line. Lentz again with a shotgun, and they got four receivers in the game this time. Varicose Morales in motion. Lentz is going to take. He will roll to the right. Looking. He sets up. He's going to heave it downfield into tight coverage. It is intercepted. Intercepted again at the 42-yard line by Braden Morrison. His second pick of the night intended for Owen Hendy, and the Hatchets take over the Westfield 42. Westfield is 2-for-7 on third down tonight. Third down and 6 from the 43. Varicose Morales is going to throw it this time. He's a lefty. He's going to throw it deep downfield, and it is intercepted. Guess who? Braden Larson again across the 40, and he's across the 45, down to the 47-yard line. The official takes a shot. A flag comes in at the end of the play, and the Hatchets will take over
Let's check the flag. 5 interceptions tonight for Brayden Larson. Unbelievable performance from him defensively. Down and 9 for Tomahawk from their own 48-yard line. Brayden Larson in the shotgun. 2 receivers to the right. Dickens in the backfield. Brayden takes. Quarterback power left side across midfield. Brayden fighting forward. He's across the 45. Fighting his way. Still going. Oh, and Hanneman. He went in the hands of Cannon Capellish. Capellish is inside the 10. He's going to score. Touchdown, Tomahawk. You can never guess what you get here. I mean, my God.
And wing back, Jonah Dickens is out to the left. First play of the second quarter begins with Rex Riley taking the snap. Rolls out to the right, fire to the end zone. Leaping grab in the middle of the end zone. Brayden Larson, touchdown, Tomahawk. Riley takes, going to roll out to the right. He'll pump, go deep. He's got Larson open again. Brayden Larson down the middle of the field, midfield. 45-40, Secretariat at the Belmont. They will not catch him. Brayden Larson, touchdown, Tomahawk. So third down and 5 for Lakeland from the Tomahawk 29. Meyer's going to take. He'll hand off Bruckner off the left side. Got some room here to the outside. And he's finally hit the line of scrimmage. Lost the football. And the hatchets recover. Coming in to make the play. Brayden Larson with the hit. Brent Moore hiding recovers. And the hatchets take over on the recovered fumble. With second down and about 6 coming up from the 11. 2 receivers out to the left. Riley's going to take handoff. Caleb Dickens up the middle. Lot of hole in front of him. Caleb Dickens running in untouched. Touchdown, Tomahawk. Caleb Dickens with an 11-yard run. 13-0 hatchets. 9:57 to go, second quarter.
Well, looks like Riley and the hatchets are going to line up in the I formation. Dickens and Larson in the backfield. Riley under center. Riley's going to take. If he will do play action, he will throw. He's going to fire towards the near side. Dickens adjusts and makes the one-handed catch on the near side and double coverage. What a snap by Jonah Dickens. That is a first down for Tomahawk at the 20, a gain of 19. Wow.
And again, if you're the hatchets, you're perfectly content with getting 5 or 6 yards if you're able to get it into a fourth and short. Riley in the shotgun, 2 receivers to the right. Dickens in the backfield. Riley takes, rolls out to the right again. Being chased, he's going to set up. He fires deep downfield. Brayden Larson makes the catch on the far side. Touchdown, Tomahawk. Brayden Larson, 38-yard connection with 6:36 to go. We're an extra point away from a timeout game. Riley under center on second down. They'll pitch it to Brayden Larson. Larson's going to throw it downfield. Wide open. It is caught. Ryan Larson, touchdown, Tomahawk. Brayden to Ryan on the halfback pass. 22 yards, and the hatchets score 19-0. I formation set, wing back to the right is Ryan Larson. Jonah Dickens, low receiver, left I formation. Brayden Larson under center. He will take hand off to Caleb Dickens, trying to fight his way. Falling forward, he's in. Touchdown, Tomahawk. Caleb Dickens with a 2-yard touchdown run. 10:59 to go, second quarter. So let's see what they do here. They are going to line up in the shotgun again. 2 receivers out to the right, wing backs left. Larson and Riley in the backfield. Larson waiting in the shotgun. Brayden is going to take. He is going to throw this time on play. You're going to take a shot downfield. Jordan Dickens is open. Makes the catch in stride. Dickens across midfield. Jordan Dickens is gone. Secretary at the Belmont. They will not catch him. Touchdown, Jordan Dickens. 76 yards. Hatchets take the lead with 10:35 to go.
If yet, this would be the first time they hit the red zone, by the way, tonight. They have not been in the red zone. Third down and 12. Here they come. Riley takes. Nail hand off.
Caleb Dickens fooled everybody. Caleb Dickens inside the 10 to the 5. Touchdown. Caleb Dickens with a 22-yard run. Statue of Liberty play works to perfection, and the Hatchets take the lead for the first time tonight. Wow!
2 wide receivers in the game to the right. Riley in the shotgun with Dickens to his right. Riley takes, play action fake, rolls to left, fires.
He's got Jonah Dickens wide open, makes the catch in stride. Dickens down the near sideline, 30, 25, 20, and out of bounds. Knocked out by Talon Haley at the 19. First down, Hatchets. Big time catch and run from Jonah Dickens. Gain of 52.
Receiver out to the left. 2 tight ends out to the right. Rex Riley again in the backfield. I formation. Brayden Larson under center. He'll take. Hand off Rex Riley off the right side. He's got a hole across the 35. Cuts back across the 30. Gets by Warner. 25-20. Riley to the 10. 5. Touchdown. Tomahawk. Rex Riley with a 40-yard touchdown run.
And the Hatchets go up 16-7 with 9:06 to go in the third quarter. How do you do, Rex Riley?
This time they're going to line up with 2 tight ends to the left, low receiver to the right, I formation set. Brayden Larson under center, first down for Tomahawk at the Clintonville 47. Larson under center, he'll take handoff. Caleb Dickens up the middle, across the 45. He's the 40. He's gone.
Caleb Dickens 30. Dickens 20. Caleb Dickens all the way home. Touchdown, Tomahawk. 47 yards, and the Hatchets go up 13-6. for the Hatchets from the 28. I formation set. Jonah Dickens, lone receiver to the right. And two tight ends to the left. Riley under center I formation. He'll take. He'll do play action. Sets up. He's going to take a shot downfield. Open is Dickens. He makes the catch in the end zone, I believe. Yes, touchdown. Tomahawk Jonah Dickens with a 28-yard touchdown catch. And the Hatchets are on the board with 7:23 to go. Phenomenal catch from Jonah Dickens. I formation set again, two tight ends to the right, lone receiver to the left, Zach Germano, Braden Larson again under center here, as Larson will take, he'll hand off, Landon Seymour, he breaks tackle, he's inside the five, Landon Seymour to the goal line, falling forward to the end zone, touchdown, Tomahawk, Landon Seymour with a 10-yard run, and an opening drive score for the Hatchets makes it 6-0. Braden Larson under center, I formation set again, Zach Germano, lone receiver out to the right, two tight ends to the left. Larson under center, Dickens and Riley in the backfield. The take, handoff, Rex Riley walking in! Touchdown, Tomahawk! Rex Riley with a 3-yard touchdown run, his second of the night, and the Hatchets reclaim the lead. It's 30-24. Tomahawk now with a second down, and they'll call in about 9 here from the 9. This time, Riley's in the shotgun, two receivers out to the right, and Jonah Dickens is going to go in motion. Riley to no direct snap to Jonah Dickens off the right side. He cuts back inside the 5. Dickens with a juke. He is into the end zone. Touchdown, Tomahawk. Jonah Dickens with a 9-yard touchdown run. His first of the night. It's 27-6. Tomahawk, 2:28 to go, third quarter.
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5, WJJQ Tomahawk.